This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Pastor Rick continues in a series called 40 Days of Love. In these lessons, he shows us how to achieve the goals of obedience to Christ and living a life of love on a day-to-day basis. In just a bit, we'll tell you how to get a DVD study kit of this series that's perfect for your individual study and also great to do with a small group of friends. You can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com right now while you listen. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Loving Like Jesus Loves Me.
God does not carry grudges. All the payment for all the stuff you've done wrong, Jesus Christ took on the cross. You don't have to pay for it. Jesus paid for it. So God says, I want you to learn to forgive others. Pastor Tom is going to come and talk about this one.
And look at this. Look at this next verse on the outline. What's God really like? We grow up, we get this idea that he's up in heaven waiting to zap me for something I do wrong. But here's what he's really like. Isaiah 43:25. I am the God who forgives your sins, not the God who is waiting to get you. I am the God who forgives your sins. And I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. That's who God is. God is a God who wants to forgive, who has done everything he can to forgive our sins in Christ. And here's the amazing thing about this. He's been planning to do this for a long time. Look at this next verse up on the screen. In fact, let's read this verse from Ephesians together. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Even before you were born, even before the world was made, God was already planning in Christ to forgive your sins. That's amazing. I mean, just think about that for a minute. All the guilt that's in your life, God made a plan for that guilt to give you forgiveness even before you were born. He knows every wrong thing I'm going to do, every wrong thing you're going to do. None of it's a surprise to him. Never. God knows everything we're going to do, and he's already planned to forgive us in Jesus Christ. So that's why God can say this. It's the next verse in your outline. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You might circle that word no. Not a little bit of condemnation or less condemnation. There is absolutely no condemnation because of what Jesus Christ did for us. There's no condemnation, but that's not at no cost, by the way. The next verse reminds us in Matthew that Jesus said, this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. It came at the cost of Jesus' blood. He gave his life so that you and I can be forgiven. And because of that, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means unconditional, complete, consistent, eternal, by grace, forgiveness in all of our lives. So let's just all do this. Just take a deep breath in with me and let it out. Just go. Because what a relief. What a relief that I don't have to pay for my own sins, make up for my own sins, suffer for my sins somehow in eternity. It's paid for by Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. And once I recognize that he's forgiven me, then I'm enabled, I'm strengthened to forgive other people in my life. In fact, these next verses talk about how you and I can do that. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:13. You must make allowance for each other's faults. Now, I hate it that the Bible says that, don't you, in some way? I mean, I want other people to make allowance for my faults. Do you like it when you have to make allowance for other people's faults? It's tough to do. But the Bible says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Or Jesus said this in Luke 6, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn. And let me just stop there for a minute. If you feel like Christians are sent into the world to condemn the world, you got it all wrong. Jesus didn't come into this world to condemn the world. In fact, he said it. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. And he sent us into the world for the very same thing. If you're trying to condemn the world around you or think that's what we're here to do, you're going to be a miserable person. We didn't come to condemn. And so when I do that, I'm only going to be miserable. Do not condemn, Jesus said, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Or at the end of a story that Jesus told once about mercy, he said this, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Because God has given me so much mercy and forgiveness That gives me the ability to give it to others. When I take a good look at myself, a good look, I see the ugliness. I see the selfishness. I see the sin. But when I take a good look at God, a good look, I see the forgiveness that only He can give. And when I get that forgiveness in my life, then I'm able to give it to other people in their lives. I am able to forgive others because I know that Jesus has forgiven me. So how about this one? Pull out that card again. And who is there this week that you could forgive, who you could offer forgiveness to? It might be somebody who has hurt you, somebody that you have been hurt by, and you need to go to them and say, I've not talked to you for a long time. Let's get this going again. Let's connect again. Or it might be somebody you know that's just under a burden of guilt in their lives. They're just hurting. And you need to let them know that God has forgiven them, just like He's forgiven all of us. Write their name down and then make plans this week to let them know about God's forgiveness.
If you're going to become a world-class lover, you have to accept people the way God accepts you. You have to value people the way God values you. You have to forgive others the way God forgives you. And then fourth one, this is important. I must believe in others like Jesus believes in me. I must believe in others like Jesus believes in me. Did you know all around you are people with low self-esteem? Everybody has insecurities. Everybody. If you don't think you got insecurities, you're in denial or you're lying. Because you have insecurities. In fact, I've discovered that even the more successful people become, the more insecure they often become. And studies have shown that the younger you were when you first experienced rejection, the more serious it is in your life. So it's almost like a curse when people say, you're not going to amount to anything. You won't matter. You're not. How do you reverse a curse? You start believing what Jesus says about you instead of believing what other people say about you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. Love believes. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground defending him. Love believes. When everybody else says believes the worst, love believes the best. Says, I'm going to go ahead and move ahead. And this is what God wants you to do. It's exactly what Jesus did. He affirmed people around him. Jesus looked at people and he didn't see what they were. He saw what they could become. He saw their potential. He saw their growth. He saw what God intended for them to be. And he brought out the best in people, not by labeling them, but saying, I believe you can do it. I know you can do it. In fact, someday do a study of Jesus and how many times he says, you can do it. I believe in you. I know you can do this. Nothing will be impossible. If you trust me, you get my spirit inside of you, you depend on my power, you can do it. I believe in you. In fact, he said this. Look at this screen. He says, as you, Heavenly Father, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now think about this. Jesus trusted the future of the entire world to 12 fishermen, and one of them flamed out. So there's only 11. And these are just normal guys, no high school, no college education. And he spends 3 years with them and he says, okay, guys, I believe in you. You can do this. Now you take this good news message to everybody else and you share it around the whole world, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the whole world, the Great Commission. And I'm trusting you guys. I believe in you. I know you can do this. And Jesus goes back to heaven and the angels say, okay, Jesus, you died for all of humanity. And how are you going to spread the good news? Well, I gave it to these 11 guys. And the angels are going, and what's your plan B? And Jesus says, there is no plan B. I believe in these guys. I know they can do it. I'm going to trust them. And that is what God says about you. In fact, let me just show you a series of verses. Look up here on the screen. Some are on your outline, some are up here. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Jesus is saying to him, you can do it. With faith, you can do it. I believe in you, you can do it. In fact, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. I believe in you. You can do it. With me in your heart and your spirit, God's power in you, you can do it. Look at this verse. Jesus told them, I assure you, if you have faith and you don't doubt, you can do things like this. He's talking about the miracles he had done. and much, much more. You can do it. In fact, this is one of the most amazing verses. Look at this next one. Jesus says, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, huh? And even greater works because I'm going to be with my Father. He's going, wait a minute. The things that I've done, you'll be able to do too? How is that possible? Well, here's how it's possible. When Jesus Christ was here physically in a body, he could only be in one place at one time. Now, Jesus can put his spirit in me and you and millions of other people, and he can be doing miracles in many places all at once. And he can answer prayer in many places all at once. And he says, you can do it. And Jesus wants you to believe in others too. Look at these verses here on the screen. He says, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. And your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. In other words, this is why you need to be in a small group. Because sometimes you have a really tough week, and you get the faith kicked out of you. And you don't have any faith. And you're dead, and you're doubting, and you're down, and depressed, and discouraged, and maybe in despair. And he says, you know, when you're down, the other people in your group will have faith for you. And then later, when they're getting the faith kicked out of them, you can have faith for them. He says, we help each other out. We don't just believe in God. The Bible says if you're going to be a believer, that means believe not only in Jesus, it believe in each other. Let me say it again. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, that means you not only believe in God and in Christ, it means you believe in each other. And that's what the church is for. We believe in each other, and we help each other through tough times, and we are a family. The Bible says we are to show love to each other. Next verse says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and to good deeds.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Jesus said, there's nothing more important than loving God and loving others. That's why Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit that comes with a 6-session DVD and workbook. In these video sessions, Rick shows you how to allow love to become your dominant life value simply by focusing on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness. We'll send you the 40 Days of Love study kit as a way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Your prayers and gifts are taking God's message of hope across our nation and around the world. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
If I'm going to learn to be a world-class lover, I got to show acceptance to, and I hope you're written in an amen, affirm the value of, offer forgiveness to, and demonstrate trust in. Write down a person, somebody you see as the potential for growth that you could say, I believe in you. Maybe you can think of somebody who's been falsely accused of something, and you need to go and say, I believe in you. Or maybe somebody they've questioned, or you've questioned their motives, you need to go and say, I believe in you. Or somebody who has potential and nobody else has seen, you need to say, I believe in you. You know, psychologists tell us that your self-image, how you see yourself, is largely determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. Let me say that again. The way you feel about you is determined by what you think the most important person in your life thinks about you. So as your friend, as your pastor, somebody who loves you, I'm telling you, you should make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life. Because he says, you are valuable. You are acceptable. You are lovable. You are forgivable. You are capable. And you need to stop listening to what everybody else is saying about you. You need to stop listening to what your conscience is saying to yourself. And you need to start listening. Make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life and listen to what he says about you. See, it really doesn't matter what other people say. What matters is what God says and who you're going to believe anyway. Fred Craddock is a pastor. He tells this story about the time he was vacationing in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Fred and his wife were seated at a table in a restaurant. It's a true story. And an old man came up to them and asked, "Are you folks on vacation?" "Yes," said Fred, "and we're having a good time." The old man said, "So what do you do for a living?" Fred said, "I'm a preacher." "Oh," said the old man, "then let me tell you a preacher story." And he sat down by them. The old man said, "You know, I was born an illegitimate child, and I never knew who my father was. And it was very, very hard on me growing up. And the kids in school made fun of me. And growing up, I didn't have any friends at all. When I walked around our little town, I always felt people were staring at me and looking at me and saying, 'I wonder who's the father of that boy.'" He said, "You know, I spent a lot of time by myself. And as I said, I didn't have any friends." And this man said, "One day a pastor came to town. And everybody was talking about how good he was. And he said, 'I'd never gone to church, but I decided I'd go to church and hear this guy.' So I went, and he was good. So he said, I kept going back. But each time I went to church, he said, I'd come in late, and I'd leave early, so I wouldn't have to talk to anybody." Sounds like a lot of you. Okay. Now I know. Okay. "Then one Sunday," he said, "I got so caught up listening that I forgot to leave early. And the service ended and the people stood up and I couldn't get out the door. And suddenly," he said, "I felt a heavy hand on my shoulder. And when I turned, that big, tall pastor was standing there with his hand on my shoulder looking at me. And he said, 'What's your name, son? Whose boy are you? Whose son are you?'" He said, "You know, Fred, I just shook when I heard those words and I heard that question." But he said, "Before I could say anything, that pastor said this: 'I know who you are. I know who your family is. You have a distinct family resemblance.' He said, 'You're the Son of God.'" The man said, "You know, mister, those words changed my life." The old man got up and he left, and a waitress came over a little bit later and said, "Do you know who you were talking to?" And Fred said, "No." She said, "That's Ben Hooper, 2-time governor of Tennessee." A man learned he was the child of God, and it changed his whole direction. It changed his destiny. He learned he was valuable and acceptable and lovable and forgivable and capable. And it changed the rest of his life, and all the opinions of other people didn't matter anymore. Now, I know, without a doubt, you've had wounds in your life. You've been hurt, no doubt. And they're wounds from rejection by peers and parents and all the other people I've talked about. God cares. I care. His church cares. You need to make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life and start filling your mind with what he says. That is the starting point for love. You can't love others until you know how much God loves you. Let's bow our heads. I want you to say this: "Dear Jesus Christ, help me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I don't understand it all, but thank you that you accept me and that you value me and that you forgive me
and that you believe in me. I want to believe in you. I want to trust you. Help me to care more about what you think of me than what other people think. And may the truth set me free. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, if you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Jesus said, "There's nothing more important than loving God and loving others." That's why Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit that comes with a 6-session DVD and workbook. In these sessions, Rick shows you how to allow love to become your dominant life value simply by focusing on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness. We'll send you the 40 Days of Love study kit to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Your prayers and your gifts are taking God's message of hope across our nation and around our world. Call us now at 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to give today and get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us how God is using this ministry to change lives.
Today I want to share a note from Dion with you, who listens to Daily Hope, and she came to faith in Jesus along with her husband. Isn't that wonderful? Here's what Dion wrote. Pastor Rick, a couple of years ago I would describe myself as a person who believed in God but definitely was not a Christian. My husband started listening to pastors on YouTube, and he started sending me your different videos, and you spoke my language. Your explanation about Jesus Christ described the person I was striving to be more like. I then found your podcast at Daily Hope and A Purpose-Driven Life and even the Daniel Plan. Basically, I became a super fan. You always emphasize the need for a church home and small groups, and I began asking God to lead my husband and I to find the right church home. Well, the third church that we tried just happened to be a church where we attended a weekly AA meeting for over 3 years, and we loved the Sunday messages from the very first service. It felt like home. They have small groups like you talk about, and we jumped into attending the small group meetings weekly, and within 2 months, we both got baptized and are now official members of our church. I truly believe God allowed you to plant this seed in our souls. That led me to want a deeper relationship with God through Jesus. I'm now a Christian that's working to spread the love of Jesus to others. Thank you so much. I pray that you can continue being a vessel for others who seek Jesus. May God bless you, Dion. Well, wow. Dion, I am so encouraged to know that you and your husband became followers of Jesus. And it's always so exciting to hear how God uses our simple small steps of faith to make a lasting difference in our lives. You know, those of you who are listening right now, did you notice that Dion and her husband also got baptized and they joined a local church and they're part of a small group? Have you done that yet? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to do that. I hope that everybody listening here will find a church family, will get baptized, will join a church family and get involved there. This is how we grow in the body of Christ. We need each other. We're better together.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.